Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery on KNSJ Descanso 89.1 FM with the latest drastic actions announced by the federal and state governments to combat the rapidly spreading COVID-19 coronavirus. President Trump announced closure of the U.S.-Mexico border to all non-essential cross-border traffic. Traffic for commerce, medical care, and education will still be allowed. This is focusing on stopping tourism and non-essential travel only. Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered all Californians to stay at home to stop the spread of coronavirus across the state, and this is a mandatory order after a patchwork of local restrictions failed to be adequate to stop the very fast spread of this disease. The governor has also banned all gatherings in one room or outdoors of 10 or more people to protect public health. Only companies providing essential services may remain open, such as gas stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, and restaurants with takeout or delivery services. Also, convenience stores, banks, and laundromats can stay open. You can find information on federal definitions of critical services which are allowed to be open, including things like telecommunications, dam safety, utilities, public health and safety services such as police and fire, at our website, eastcountymagazine.org, in our article on the governor's executive order. Over the weekend, the state issued a 14-page list clarifying just what are considered critical businesses. We have a list on our site at eastcountymagazine.org in a brand new article published Monday. There's a lot on there, such as plumbers, electricians, morticians, car repair places, appliance outlets, and others. Governor Newsom says he issued the statewide order after public health experts estimated that as many as 25 million Californians will be infected by the virus within 2 months, making it critical to stop the growth now. While most will recover and some won't have symptoms at all but could be carriers, up to 20,000 people would likely be hospitalized if nothing is done. That is double the 10,000-bed surge capacity of hospitals statewide, although California is now requisitioning facilities to fill the gap and working with the private sector to increase supply of ventilators and masks, which the federal government has failed to provide despite recent promises. In San Diego County, there are now 205 cases, including cases in East County, including El Cajon, Santee, and Ramona. 500 people are on ventilators, and our county only has 826 ventilators in hospitals, not counting military, which is why it's critical to flatten the growth curve of the disease. Those hospitalized and on ventilators now include the county Democratic Party chairman and a Chula Vista City Councilman. The Grossmont Healthcare District is asking for help from anyone with a medical license. Although they still have masks, they're concerned about running out as national supplies dwindle, and they're going to be putting out patterns for people in the community who want to help sew masks to protect healthcare workers on the front lines. Now, the governor's order does not have an expiration date. However, Governor Newsom says it likely will last at least 8 weeks. He assured Californians that he is hopeful that this will not be many months. The stay-at-home order has closed down facilities such as gyms and fitness studios, as well as entertainment venues like movie theaters and all public events. However, people can still go outside to walk your dogs and get exercise, such as by walking or jogging, as long as social distance of 6 feet is maintained from other people. Now, locally, some county parks remain open for those who wish to hike, but playgrounds have been closed down, along with all city-run lakes and reservoirs, as well as Lake Jennings, run by Helix Water District. City of San Diego beaches and parks are also closed due to crowds over the weekend that defied the governor's order. Lake Cuyamaca and trails to popular local waterfalls are also closed. Now, if you've been laid off because of the COVID virus orders, the state has waived the one-week waiting period to file for unemployment, so you can file right now. And you can defer filing your IRS tax returns. And there are also several packages in the works in Congress to bring relief to small businesses and individuals and others who are suffering from this. Now, also today, we'll have detailed news on federal, state, and county actions you need to know about, including additional travel warnings and closures of key offices, an urgent call for blood due to the coronavirus crisis, and information on utilities offering relief for customers who are impacted. On our Capitol Report, hear about the sentencing of disgraced Congressman Duncan Hunter and a controversy embroiling one of the candidates running to replace him, Daryl Issa, the former congressman who just 2 weeks ago suggested that concern over the coronavirus was a fraud. On Crime Beat, hear how sheriff's deputies caught local price gougers seeking to profit off hoarding toilet paper and other supplies, and learn about a flip in the San Diego mayoral race as late ballots continue to be counted. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
This is Mitchell Murphy with the latest federal actions to address the coronavirus pandemic. President Donald Trump has invoked the Defense Production Act to help combat the COVID-19 crisis. The act gives the president the authority to order increased manufacturing of critical supplies such as ventilators, respirators, masks, and protective equipment for medical providers, as well as for the White House to allot distribution of emergency medical supplies and equipment where needed most. Trump also authorized two military hospital ships to be dispatched, one to New York, though it will take weeks to arrive. The other will be sent from San Diego to whichever West Coast city most needs medical aid. Trump said he is now a wartime president, but said that he will only use the powers granted under the act in a worst-case scenario. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has confirmed that some doctors and nurses lack critical equipment, including gowns and gloves. Other medical professionals have been complaining for weeks about shortages of hospital beds and voiced fears of running out of ventilators as the number of cases grows exponentially. The Defense Department will make up to 5 million N95 masks and other protective equipment for medical personnel available immediately out of the America's Strategic Reserves, as well as up to 2,000 deployable ventilators as needed. But CNN reports that officials from Health and Human Services say there is not enough personnel protective equipment in the strategic national stockpile to fill the expected gaps in state and local supplies. Though the president's actions to boost production of medical equipment drew praise, he also drew criticism from tweets calling COVID-19 the Chinese virus, a term that some objected to as racist and potentially fueling hostility against Asian Americans. Trump has also drawn criticism from previously characterizing COVID-19 as a hoax, for slashing funding to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and for leaving the U.S. without a pandemic team since 2018 by failing to fill vacancies. In other federal action, the Senate has approved a bill authored by House Democrats to authorize a multi-billion-dollar emergency aid package, including paid sick time and family leave for many Americans out of work due to the coronavirus. Specifically, it will provide 2 weeks of fully paid sick time and family leave to many, though not all, workers if they are in quarantine helping a family member with COVID-19 or are home to care for children due to school closures. After the initial 2 weeks, workers will get 12 weeks of paid leave if schools remain closed, but at a reduced 67% of their normal salary. The paid leave does not apply to companies with more than 500 employees, and some small businesses may be exempted. The bill also increases Medicaid funding and boosts food assistance through SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps. In addition, the bill mandates that COVID-19 tests be free to those who need them and increases unemployment benefits short term. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell originally sought to block the measure, but ultimately told his colleagues who objected due to impacts on businesses to hold your noses and vote for the measure. It passed by a 90-8 vote. With all Democrats and most Republicans joining to pass the measure, President Trump has pledged to sign the measure. Congress is working on another stimulus measure that could help address needs of struggling small businesses, as well as cash assistance to ordinary Americans. Democratic and Republican leaders have both voiced support for payments to individuals and around $1,000 short-term to help cushion the negative economic impacts. Relief measures for hard-hit industries such as airlines and cruise ships companies are also under consideration. The Federal Reserve has also slashed interest rates to zero, and the IRS has announced a 90-day extension for filing income tax returns.
Now, with at least 105 cases diagnosed in our region, the county has also taken actions. San Diego County health officials have banned gatherings of 10 or more people in any indoor or outdoor space. Smaller groups must stay 6 feet apart to slow spread of the new coronavirus. Gyms and fitness centers have been ordered closed. Movie theaters are shut down. Regional shopping malls such as Parkway Plaza and Fashion Valley are also closed. Stores selling groceries and pharmacies remain open, as well as restaurants providing takeout or delivery services only. Daycare must be limited to groups of up to 10 children in the same room, and they must remain in the same group every day with the same staff person. Now, according to the county's mandatory directive, people who are home, working remotely, and students should not be out unless it's necessary. You can go out to get food and take care of other essential needs, such as walking your dog, care for a family member, relative, or friend, get medical attention, or pick up medications, or go to work if you're an essential employee. Dr. Wilma Wooten, county health official, says, if you need to be out, don't go out in groups. We must all do everything we can to avoid getting COVID-19 and making others sick. The new order and guidelines issued by the county aim to help flatten the curve of the COVID-19 pandemic and prevent many people from getting sick at the same time. Social distancing has been proven to slow the spread of pandemics so that sick people don't overwhelm healthcare systems. Should that occur, there might not be enough hospital beds or mechanical respirators for everyone who needs them, officials warn. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The U.S. Department of State has issued a Level 4 travel advisory, the highest level, warning U.S. citizens to avoid all international travel due to the global impact of COVID-19. The advisory states, in countries where commercial departure options are made available, U.S. citizens who live in the United States should arrange for immediate return to the United States unless they are prepared to remain abroad for an indefinite period. U.S. citizens living abroad should avoid all international travel, the department urges. Some U.S. citizens have already found themselves stranded overseas as nations close borders, impose travel restrictions, and mandatory quarantines in some cases without advance notice. Airlines have canceled many international flights, and several cruise operators have suspended operations or canceled trips. The State Department advisory states if you choose to travel internationally, your travel plans may be severely disrupted and you may be forced to remain outside of the United States for an indefinite time frame. The State Department has also authorized departure of some U.S. diplomats and families around the world who are at highest risk from exposure to COVID-19. Which limits the ability of American embassies and consulates to help American citizens overseas. You can find updated information at thetravel.state.gov, and if you must travel abroad, enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program at the website travel.state.gov to receive alerts while overseas on any critical situations. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
This is Mitchell Murphy with a public service announcement from the San Diego Blood Bank. The San Diego Blood Bank urgently needs blood donations due to the COVID-19 crisis. School closures and work-from-home policies have resulted in canceled blood drives at schools and workplaces. The blood bank collects more than half of its blood supply on blood mobiles from these mobile blood drives. David Welles, CEO of the San Diego Blood Bank, warns the U.S. is on the verge of a serious blood shortage that will lead to blood rationing and triage. We need healthy people to come out to donate immediately. He adds, supplies are dropping to critical levels. We are confident the San Diego community will rally around this urgent need. The blood bank assures that safety measures are in place to protect donors, with all donors screened on arrival and surfaces cleaned between blood donations. There is no evidence that donating blood affects a donor's ability to fight infections later, and there is no evidence of any risk of COVID-19 transmission through blood transfusions. Dr. Brett Greyer, Assistant Secretary of Health, says it's safe to donate blood, adding part of preparedness includes a robust blood supply. Healthy individuals should schedule an appointment to donate today to ensure that blood is available for patients who need it. All blood types are needed, and people who have never donated before are encouraged to donate. Donors must be 17 years or older, weigh a minimum of 114 pounds, and be in general good health. To find a blood donation center near you and make an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org/givelife or call 619-400-8251. Again, that's sandiegobloodbank.org/givelife or dial 619-400-8251.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report. Disgraced former Congressman Duncan D. Hunter has been sentenced in federal court after pleading guilty in December to a felony count of conspiracy to spend campaign funds for personal use. Hunter will have until May 29th to report to federal prison, where he will serve an 11-month term. Known for heavy partying in Washington, D.C., where he was once named the biggest party animal in Congress by Washingtonian Magazine, Hunter must also undergo an alcohol and drug treatment program. In addition, after his release, he will be on 3 years of supervised probation. The location where Hunter will serve his sentence has not yet been announced. Judge Thomas Whalen left open the possibility of a later start to Hunter's imprisonment if warranted by the COVID-19 emergency. The prosecution had sought a 14-month term behind bars, while Hunter's attorneys sought home detention and community service instead of prison time. Hunter, a conservative Republican who has represented the 50th Congressional District since 2008, resigned in January after his guilty plea. Before then, he had staunchly maintained his innocence and at times blamed his wife for the misspending of funds on a lavish personal lifestyle, despite prosecutors' evidence that Hunter spent some campaign funds on overnight trysts and trips with multiple mistresses. U.S. Attorney Philip Halper stated in his sentencing recommendation, as part of a disingenuous attempt to deflect attention away from his own criminal conduct, Hunter repeatedly attacked this nation's very system of government, including Congress, the FBI, the Department of Justice in general, and individual federal prosecutors in particular. Hunter has said he pleaded guilty in hopes of sparing his wife, Margaret, and their three children. Margaret pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to spend campaign funds on personal use, but has not yet been sentenced. Hunter asked the judge not to sentence Margaret to prison. Hunter's father, former Congressman Duncan Hunter Sr., has denounced the investigation against his son as politically motivated. The accusations against the Hunters for stealing $250,000 in campaign funds and the sentence of the disgraced congressman have made headlines nationwide and indeed around the world. In Atlanta, a Twitter user who says he's a former comedy writer for David Letterman offered up this timely tip amid the coronavirus crisis. Duncan Hunter shouldn't think of it as a year in the slammer, he wrote, but rather 11 months of free quarantine.
Weeks after the COVID-19 virus had begun rapidly spreading around the world, Daryl Issa, the Republican nominee running for the 50th Congressional District, sent a March 4th fundraising letter in which he accused the left of manufacturing crisis after crisis, including climate change and, quote, the outbreak of viruses. Issa claimed that the real epidemic is Trump derangement syndrome. His actions just 2 weeks ago ignored the urgent advice of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, and other top health officials. Issa, a former congressman, is running to fill the seat left vacant by the resignation of Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter, who has been sentenced to prison after pleading guilty to a conspiracy to steal $250,000 in campaign funds for personal use. Issa is running against Democrat Amar Kampa Najjar, who earlier this week urged that the military be mobilized to build hospitals and that the factories be ordered to ramp up production of critically needed supplies, such as ventilators and masks. President Donald Trump earlier this year also suggested the virus was a hoax during a campaign rally and drew criticism for leaving U.S. pandemic team positions unfilled since 2018 and cutting funds to the CDC. Trump has since recognized the severity of what is now a global pandemic. the president just announced that he is invoking the Wartime Production Act in order to mobilize the military, as Kapil Najjar earlier proposed to take action to combat the COVID-19 virus. The act empowers the president to send stockpile military medical supplies and order factories to produce vitally needed medical supplies. Two Navy hospital ships are being dispatched to New York and to a second location on the West Coast. COVID-19 has put the U.S. and many other nations on virtual lockdown, with borders closing, schools and restaurants shut down, seniors sheltering in place, and most workers telecommuting or out of work completely. Health officials warned that hospitals will soon be overwhelmed with critically ill patients unless more is done quickly. The president's orders aim to help address that situation belatedly and save lives. Worldwide, over 200,000 cases have been diagnosed and more than 8,000 people have died. Over 11,000 cases have been diagnosed in the U.S. and more than 100 Americans have died. Here in the Western Pacific region, nearly 92,000 cases are confirmed with over 3,300 deaths. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the California Department of Motor Vehicles, or DMV, has asked California law enforcement to exercise discretion for 60 days in their enforcement of driver license and vehicle registration expiration dates beginning March 16th. The DMV is taking this action so that at-risk populations, including seniors and those with underlying health conditions, can avoid required visits to DMV field offices for driver license or vehicle registration renewals. Those who are ill should also postpone going to the DMV. This 60-day period for driver license and vehicle registration is intended to protect the health and safety of DMV customers who would otherwise have to come to a DMV office to take care of business, but are concerned during this coronavirus pandemic. Transactions that still require a DMV office visit include new driver license, duplicate driver license, some driver license renewals, new license plates, complex vehicle registrations, or title transfers and off-highway permits. For East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
Helix Water District's Board of Directors has voted to temporarily suspend late fees and water shutoffs for non-payment of bills during the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. Helix Water District Board President Mark Grasick says, "We recognize that many of our customers are facing financial hardships as a result of the pandemic and the related school and business closures. We want to help by making sure that all of our customers have access to safe, clean water during this public health emergency," he adds, noting that hand washing, of course, is one of the best ways to limit spread of the virus. The district's temporary suspension of late fees and shutoffs is effective March 19th through April 30th. The board will reassess whether to extend those dates in April. District staff will continue to read meters and generate water bills, and any overdue payments will be due after the temporary suspension expires. Customers having trouble paying their water bills are encouraged to contact the district's customer service team to make payment arrangements by calling 619-466-0585. Helix Water District's Director of Water Quality, Brian Olney, also wants to assure the public that the water supply is safe. He says there is no evidence that the virus is transmitted through treated water. The water treatment process used by Helix includes disinfecting the water with ozone to chemically deactivate and physically remove viruses, as well as bacteria and other organisms. District facilities are closed to the public until further notice to protect both staff and customers. However, customer service remains available by phone during business hours. And if you need more information, you can find it at the Helix Water District website at hwd.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego Gas and Electric Company, or SDG&E, has announced that it is suspending disconnections of service for non-payment of bills. A statement on the utility company's website states that the temporary suspension on service cutoffs is due to the coronavirus pandemic causing significant impact on the economy and people's livelihoods. The company also urges customers struggling to pay their utility bill due to financial hardships stemming from the coronavirus to call SDG&E's customer contact center at 1-800-411-7343 to make payment arrangements. Scott Sider, SDG&E's Vice President of Customer Service, says, "With our entire region already experiencing many disruptions due to the coronavirus, the last thing we want our customers to worry about is whether they can afford to keep their lights on." Reporting on KNSJ for East County Magazine, this is Liz Alper.
The county library system has canceled all library-sponsored and co-sponsored events, programs, and classes through the end of March to help stop the spread of COVID-19. You can also access all the library ebooks and e-magazines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by downloading the Libby app on Flipster, ebooks, and e-magazines. Reference materials, including newspapers, are available on the county's website. For more information or to sign up for a library card, you can visit San Diego County Library's website at sdcl.org. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Mitch Murphy.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. The San Diego Sheriff's Department has arrested 8 local people for selling hoarded toilet paper, cleaning supplies, hygiene products, and protective equipment at price gouging rates. The suspects, who posted these items for sale online, could be fined up to $10,000 and put in prison. It is illegal to price gouge during an emergency. So after the state emergency declaration due to COVID-19, the coronavirus, when consumers were finding store shelves emptied of much-needed supplies, deputies began checking out online websites. They found local residents offering items at up to 20 times higher than normal. Plainclothes sheriff deputies arranged to meet and buy the excessively priced goods and then arrested the suspects, including sellers from unincorporated El Cajon, Escondido, Poway, San Diego, San Marcos, Rainbow, and Vista. Lieutenant Arnold Aldana has this advice for consumers. During this pandemic, scammers are trying to take advantage of misinformation and fear surrounding the public health crisis, so be aware of the COVID-19 scams circulating around the county. There are currently no products known to treat or cure coronavirus. There are also no in-home test kits available, so don't believe scammers offering this stuff. Also beware of door-to-door shysters offering fake decontamination or coronavirus testing services. Don't be conned by scammers urging people to invest in new stocks related to the disease, and watch out for deceptive online ads and identity phishing emails that ask you to open links and provide your social security number, banking, or credit card information, or make donations to organizations you're not familiar with. There are also reports of thieves posing as census takers to gain access to your homes. You can fill out your census form online, and if a census taker does come to your door, be sure they have the proper federal identification. For resources on how to avoid becoming a victim, you can visit sdsheriff.net/financial, and you can report price gouging during this emergency to the sheriff, the district attorney, or the California Attorney General's office, so that the thieves will get the rewards that they have coming to them.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
More than 2 weeks after the March 3rd primary election, the outcome in the San Diego mayoral race has changed. With all precincts counted, but some mail-in and provisional ballots still being tallied, Councilmember Barbara Bree has surpassed Councilmember Scott Sherman by a slim margin. It now appears the runoff in November will likely be between 2 Democrats. Assemblyman Todd Gloria still has a solid lead of nearly 42%. Bree has 22.94%, while Sherman, a Republican, has 22.81%. A margin of about 444 votes currently separates Bree and Sherman as of today's show deadline while the counting continues. 3 other candidates are all measuring in single digits. Reporting for KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to the East County Magazine live radio show. The voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery on KNSJ Descanso 89.1 FM with the latest drastic actions announced by the federal and state governments Thursday night and Friday to combat the rapidly spreading COVID-19 coronavirus. President Trump announced closure of the U.S.-Mexico border effective midnight Friday to all non-essential cross-border traffic. Traffic for commerce, medical care, and education will still be allowed. This is focusing on stopping tourism and non-essential travel only. Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered all Californians to stay at home to stop the spread of coronavirus across the state, and this is a mandatory order after a patchwork of local restrictions failed to be adequate to stop the very fast spread of this disease. The governor has also banned all gatherings in one room or outdoors of 10 or more people to protect public health. Only companies providing essential services may remain open, such as gas stations, pharmacies, grocery stores, and restaurants with takeout or delivery services. Also, convenience stores, banks, and laundromats can stay open. You can find information on federal definitions of critical services which are allowed to be open, including things like telecommunications, dam safety, utilities, public health and safety services such as police and fire, at our website, eastcountymagazine.org, in our article on the governor's executive order. Governor Newsom says he issued the statewide order after public health experts estimated that as many as 25 million Californians will be infected by the virus within 2 months, making it critical to stop the growth now. While most will recover and some won't have symptoms at all but could be carriers, up to 20,000 people would likely be hospitalized if nothing is done. That is double the 10,000-bed surge capacity of hospitals statewide, although California is now requisitioning facilities to fill the gap and working with the private sector to increase supply of ventilators and masks, which the federal government has failed to provide despite recent promises. So far, California has had over 1,000 cases and 16 people have died. In San Diego County, there are now over 100 cases as of Friday morning, including Chula Vista City Councilman Steve Padilla, who is hospitalized and on a respirator in an intensive care unit. Now, the governor's order does not have an expiration date. However, Governor Newsom says it likely will last at least 8 weeks. He assured Californians that he is hopeful that this will not be many months. The stay-at-home order has closed down facilities such as gyms and fitness studios, as well as entertainment venues like movie theaters and all public events. However, the governor stated in his press conference that people can still go outside to walk your dogs and get exercise, such as by walking or jogging, as long as social distance of 6 feet is maintained from other people. Now, locally, some county parks remain open for those who wish to hike on local trails, but playgrounds have been closed down, along with all city-run lakes and reservoirs, as well as Lake Jennings, run by Helix Water District. For a list of what parks are open, closed, or have restrictions, you can visit the San Diego County Parks website. Now, if you've been laid off because of the COVID virus orders, the state has waived the one-week waiting period to file for unemployment, so you can file right now. Utilities are allowing delayed payments, and you can defer filing your IRS tax returns. And there are also several packages in the works in Congress to bring relief to small businesses and individuals and others who are suffering from this, and we'll be providing some details on that on today's show. Now, also today, we'll have detailed news on federal, state, and county actions you need to know about, including additional travel warnings and closures of key offices, an urgent call for blood due to the coronavirus crisis, and information on utilities offering relief for customers who are impacted. On our Capitol Report, hear about the sentencing of disgraced Congressman Duncan Hunter and a controversy embroiling one of the candidates running to replace him, Daryl Issa, the former congressman who just 2 weeks ago suggested that concern over the coronavirus was a fraud. On Crime Beat, hear how sheriff's deputies caught local price gougers seeking to profit off hoarding toilet paper and other supplies during this crisis, people who may face serious fines or jail time, and learn about a flip in the San Diego mayoral race as late ballots continue to be counted. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
This is Mitchell Murphy with the latest federal actions to address the coronavirus pandemic. President Donald Trump has invoked the Defense Production Act to help combat the COVID-19 crisis. The act gives the president the authority to order increased manufacturing of critical supplies such as ventilators, respirators, masks, and protective equipment for medical providers, as well as for the White House to allot distribution of emergency medical supplies and equipment where needed most. Trump also authorized 2 military hospital ships to be dispatched, one to New York, though it will take weeks to arrive. The other will be sent from San Diego to whichever West Coast city most needs medical aid. Trump said he is now a wartime president, but said that he will only use the powers granted under the act in a worst-case scenario. U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has confirmed that some doctors and nurses lack critical equipment, including gowns and gloves. Other medical professionals have been complaining for weeks about shortages of hospital beds and voiced fears of running out of ventilators as the number of cases grows exponentially. The Defense Department will make up to 5 million N95 masks and other protective equipment for medical personnel available immediately out of the American Strategic Reserves, as well as up to 2,000 deployable ventilators as needed. But CNN reports that officials from Health and Human Services say there is not enough personnel protective equipment in the strategic national stockpile to fill the expected gaps in state and local supplies. Though the president's actions to boost production of medical equipment drew praise, he also drew criticism from tweets calling COVID-19 the Chinese virus, a term that some objected to as racist and potentially fueling hostility against Asian Americans. Trump has also drawn criticism from previously characterizing COVID-19 as a hoax, for slashing funding to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and for leaving the U.S. without a pandemic team since 2018 by failing to fill vacancies. In other federal action, the Senate has approved a bill authored by House Democrats to authorize a multi-billion-dollar emergency aid package, including paid sick time and family leave for many Americans out of work due to the coronavirus. Specifically, it will provide 2 weeks of fully paid sick time and family leave to many, though not all, workers if they are in quarantine helping a family member with COVID-19 or are home to care for children due to school closures. After the initial 2 weeks, workers will get 12 weeks of paid leave if schools remain closed, but at a reduced 67% of their normal salary. The paid leave does not apply to companies with more than 500 employees, and some small businesses may be exempted. The bill also increases Medicaid funding and boosts food assistance through SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps. In addition, the bill mandates that COVID-19 tests be free to those who need them and increases unemployment benefits short-term. Senate Leader Mitch McConnell originally sought to block the measure, but ultimately told his colleagues who objected due to impacts on businesses to hold your noses and vote for the measure. It passed by a 90-8 vote. With all Democrats and most Republicans joining to pass the measure, President Trump has pledged to sign the measure. Congress is working on another stimulus measure that could help address needs of struggling small businesses, as well as cash assistance to ordinary Americans. Democratic and Republican leaders have both voiced support for payments to individuals and around $1,000 short-term to help cushion the negative economic impacts. Relief measures for hard-hit industries such as airlines and cruise ships companies are also under consideration. The Federal Reserve has also slashed interest rates to zero, and the IRS has announced a 90-day extension for filing income tax returns.
Now, with at least 105 cases diagnosed in our region, the county has also taken actions. San Diego County health officials have banned gatherings of 10 or more people in any indoor or outdoor space. Smaller groups must stay 6 feet apart to slow spread of the new coronavirus. Gyms and fitness centers have been ordered closed. Movie theaters are shut down. Regional shopping malls such as Parkway Plaza and Fashion Valley are also closed. Stores selling groceries and pharmacies remain open, as well as restaurants providing takeout or delivery services only. Daycare must be limited to groups of up to 10 children in the same room, and they must remain in the same group every day with the same staff person. Now, according to the county's mandatory directive, people who are home, working remotely, and students should not be out unless it's necessary. You can go out to get food and take care of other essential needs, such as walking your dog, care for a family member, relative, or friend, get medical attention, or pick up medications, or go to work if you're an essential employee. Dr. Wilma Wooten, county health official, says, if you need to be out, don't go out in groups. We must all do everything we can to avoid getting COVID-19 and making others sick. The new order and guidelines issued by the county aim to help flatten the curve of the COVID-19 pandemic and prevent many people from getting sick at the same time. Social distancing has been proven to slow the spread of pandemics so that sick people don't overwhelm healthcare systems. Should that occur, there might not be enough hospital beds or mechanical respirators for everyone who needs them, officials warn. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The U.S. Department of State has issued a Level 4 travel advisory, the highest level, warning U.S. citizens to avoid all international travel due to the global impact of COVID-19. The advisory states, in countries where commercial departure options are made available, U.S. citizens who live in the United States should arrange for immediate return to the United States unless they are prepared to remain abroad for an indefinite period. U.S. citizens living abroad should avoid all international travel, the department urges. Some U.S. citizens have already found themselves stranded overseas as nations close borders, impose travel restrictions, and mandatory quarantines in some cases without advance notice. Airlines have canceled many international flights, and several cruise operators have suspended operations or canceled trips. The State Department advisory states if you choose to travel internationally, your travel plans may be severely disrupted and you may be forced to remain outside of the United States for an indefinite time frame. The State Department has also authorized departure of some U.S. diplomats and families around the world who are at highest risk from exposure to COVID-19, which limits the ability of American embassies and consulates to help American citizens overseas. You can find updated information at thetravel.state.gov, and if you must travel abroad, enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program at the website travel.state.gov to receive alerts while overseas on any critical situations. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
This is Mitchell Murphy with a public service announcement from the San Diego Blood Bank. The San Diego Blood Bank urgently needs blood donations due to the COVID-19 crisis. School closures and work-from-home policies have resulted in canceled blood drives at schools and workplaces. The blood bank collects more than half of its blood supply on blood mobiles from these mobile blood drives. David Welles, CEO of the San Diego Blood Bank, warns the U.S. is on the verge of a serious blood shortage that will lead to blood rationing and triage. We need healthy people to come out to donate immediately. He adds, supplies are dropping to critical levels. We are confident the San Diego community will rally around this urgent need. The blood bank assures that safety measures are in place to protect donors, with all donors screened on arrival and surfaces cleaned between blood donations. There is no evidence that donating blood affects a donor's ability to fight infections later, and there is no evidence of any risk of COVID-19 transmission through blood transfusions. Dr. Brett Greyer, Assistant Secretary of Health, says it's safe to donate blood, adding part of preparedness includes a robust blood supply. Healthy individuals should schedule an appointment to donate today to ensure that blood is available for patients who need it. All blood types are needed, and people who have never donated before are encouraged to donate. Donors must be 17 years or older, weigh a minimum of 114 pounds, and be in general good health. To find a blood donation center near you and make an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org/givelife or call 619-400-8251. Again, that's sandiegobloodbank.org/givelife or dial 619-400-8251.
This is East County Magazine's Capital Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capital Report. Disgraced former Congressman Duncan D. Hunter has been sentenced in federal court after pleading guilty in December to a felony count of conspiracy to spend campaign funds for personal use. Hunter will have until May 29th to report to federal prison, where he will serve an 11-month term. Known for heavy partying in Washington, D.C., where he was once named the biggest party animal in Congress by Washingtonian Magazine, Hunter must also undergo an alcohol and drug treatment program. In addition, after his release, he will be on 3 years of supervised probation. The location where Hunter will serve his sentence has not yet been announced. Judge Thomas Whalen left open the possibility of a later start to Hunter's imprisonment if warranted by the COVID-19 emergency. The prosecution had sought a 14-month term behind bars, while Hunter's attorneys sought home detention and community service instead of prison time. Hunter, a conservative Republican who has represented the 50th Congressional District since 2008, resigned in January after his guilty plea. Before then, he had staunchly maintained his innocence and at times blamed his wife for the misspending of funds on a lavish personal lifestyle, despite prosecutors' evidence that Hunter spent some campaign funds on overnight trysts and trips with multiple mistresses. U.S. Attorney Philip Halper stated in his sentencing recommendation, as part of a disingenuous attempt to deflect attention away from his own criminal conduct, Hunter repeatedly attacked this nation's very system of government, including Congress, the FBI, the Department of Justice in general, and individual federal prosecutors in particular. Hunter has said he pleaded guilty in hopes of sparing his wife, Margaret, and their three children. Margaret pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to spend campaign funds on personal use, but has not yet been sentenced. Hunter asked the judge not to sentence Margaret to prison. Hunter's father, former Congressman Duncan Hunter Sr., has denounced the investigation against his son as politically motivated. The accusations against the Hunters for stealing $250,000 in campaign funds and the sentence of the disgraced congressman have made headlines nationwide and indeed around the world. In Atlanta, a Twitter user who says he's a former comedy writer for David Letterman offered up this timely tip amid the coronavirus crisis. Duncan Hunter shouldn't think of it as a year in the slammer, he wrote, but rather 11 months of free quarantine.
Weeks after the COVID-19 virus had begun rapidly spreading around the world, Daryl Issa, the Republican nominee running for the 50th Congressional District, sent a March 4th fundraising letter in which he accused the left of manufacturing crisis after crisis, including climate change and, quote, the outbreak of viruses. Issa claimed that the real epidemic is Trump derangement syndrome. His actions just 2 weeks ago ignored the urgent advice of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, and other top health officials. Issa, a former congressman, is running to fill the seat left vacant by the resignation of Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter, who has been sentenced to prison after pleading guilty to a conspiracy to steal $250,000 in campaign funds for personal use. Issa is running against Democrat Amar Kampa Najjar, who earlier this week urged that the military be mobilized to build hospitals and that the factories be ordered to ramp up production of critically needed supplies, such as ventilators and masks. President Donald Trump earlier this year also suggested the virus was a hoax during a campaign rally and drew criticism for leaving U.S. pandemic team positions unfilled since 2018 and cutting funds to the CDC. Trump has since recognized the severity of what is now a global pandemic. The president just announced that he is invoking the Wartime Production Act in order to mobilize the military, as Kapil Najjar earlier proposed to take action to combat the COVID-19 virus. The act empowers the president to send stockpile military medical supplies and order factories to produce vitally needed medical supplies. Two Navy hospital ships are being dispatched to New York and to a second location on the West Coast. COVID-19 has put the U.S. and many other nations on virtual lockdown, with borders closing, schools and restaurants shut down, seniors sheltering in place, and most workers telecommuting or out of work completely. Health officials warned that hospitals will soon be overwhelmed with critically ill patients unless more is done quickly. The president's orders aim to help address that situation belatedly and save lives. Worldwide, over 200,000 cases have been diagnosed and more than 8,000 people have died. Over 11,000 cases have been diagnosed in the U.S. and more than 100 Americans have died. Here in the Western Pacific region, nearly 92,000 cases are confirmed with over 3,300 deaths. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the California Department of Motor Vehicles, or DMV, has asked California law enforcement to exercise discretion for 60 days in their enforcement of driver license and vehicle registration expiration dates beginning March 16th. The DMV is taking this action so that at-risk populations, including seniors, and those with underlying health conditions can avoid required visits to DMV field offices for driver license or vehicle registration renewals. Those who are ill should also postpone going to the DMV. This 60-day period for driver license and vehicle registration is intended to protect the health and safety of DMV customers who would otherwise have to come to a DMV office to take care of business, but are concerned during this coronavirus pandemic. Transactions that still require a DMV office visit include new driver license, duplicate driver license, some driver license renewals, new license plates, complex vehicle registrations, or title transfers and off-highway permit. For East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
Helix Water District's Board of Directors has voted to temporarily suspend late fees and water shutoffs for non-payment of bills during the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. Helix Water District Board President Mark Grasick says, "We recognize that many of our customers are facing financial hardships as a result of the pandemic and the related school and business closures. We want to help by making sure that all of our customers have access to safe, clean water during this public health emergency," he adds, noting that hand washing, of course, is one of the best ways to limit spread of the virus. The district's temporary suspension of late fees and shutoffs is effective March 19th through April 30th. The board will reassess whether to extend those dates in April. District staff will continue to read meters and generate water bills, and any overdue payments will be due after the temporary suspension expires. Customers having trouble paying their water bills are encouraged to contact the district's customer service team to make payment arrangements by calling 619-466-0585. Helix Water District's Director of Water Quality, Brian Olney, also wants to assure the public that the water supply is safe. He says, "There is no evidence that the virus is transmitted through treated water. The water treatment process used by Helix includes disinfecting the water with ozone to chemically deactivate and physically remove viruses, as well as bacteria and other organisms. District facilities are closed to the public until further notice to protect both staff and customers. However, customer service remains available by phone during business hours. And if you need more information, you can find it at the Helix Water District website at hwd.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego Gas and Electric Company, or SDG&E, has announced that it is suspending disconnections of service for non-payment of bills. The temporary suspension on service cutoffs is due to the coronavirus pandemic causing significant impact on the economy and people's livelihoods. The company also urges customers struggling to pay their utility bill due to financial hardships stemming from the coronavirus to call SDG&E's customer contact center at 1-800-411-7343 to make payment arrangements. Scott Sider, SDG&E's Vice President of Customer Service, says, "With our entire region already experiencing many disruptions due to the coronavirus, the last thing we want our customers to worry about is whether they can afford to keep their lights on." Reporting on KNSJ for East County Magazine, this is Liz Alper.
The county library system has canceled all library-sponsored and co-sponsored events, programs, and classes through the end of March to help stop the spread of COVID-19. You can also access all the library ebooks and e-magazines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by downloading the Libby app on Flipster, ebooks, and e-magazines. Reference materials, including newspapers, are available on the county's website. For more information or to sign up for a library card, you can visit San Diego County Library's website at sdcl.org. Reporting on KNSJ, this is Mitch Murphy.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. The San Diego Sheriff's Department has arrested 8 local people for selling hoarded toilet paper, cleaning supplies, hygiene products, and protective equipment at price gouging rates. The suspects, who posted these items for sale online, could be fined up to $10,000 and put in prison. It is illegal to price gouge during an emergency. So after the state emergency declaration due to COVID-19, the coronavirus, when consumers were finding store shelves emptied of much-needed supplies, deputies began checking out online websites. They found local residents offering items at up to 20 times higher than normal. Plainclothes sheriff deputies arranged to meet and buy the excessively priced goods and then arrested the suspects, including sellers from unincorporated El Cajon, Escondido, Poway, San Diego, San Marcos, Rainbow, and Vista. Lieutenant Arnold Aldana has this advice for consumers. During this pandemic, scammers are trying to take advantage of misinformation and fear surrounding the public health crisis, so be aware of the COVID-19 scams circulating around the county. There are currently no products known to treat or cure coronavirus. There are also no in-home test kits available, so don't believe scammers offering this stuff. Also beware of door-to-door shysters offering fake decontamination or coronavirus testing services. Don't be conned by scammers urging people to invest in new stocks related to the disease, and watch out for deceptive online ads and identity phishing emails that ask you to open links and provide your social security number, banking, or credit card information, or make donations to organizations you're not familiar with. There are also reports of thieves posing as census takers to gain access to your homes. You can fill out your census form online, and if a census taker does come to your door, be sure they have the proper federal identification. For resources on how to avoid becoming a victim, you can visit sdsheriff.net/financial, and you can report price gouging during this emergency to the sheriff, the district attorney, or the California Attorney General's office, so that the thieves will get the rewards that they have coming to them.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
More than 2 weeks after the March 3rd primary election, the outcome in the San Diego mayoral race has changed. With all precincts counted, but some mail-in and provisional ballots still being tallied, Councilmember Barbara Bree has surpassed Councilmember Scott Sherman by a slim margin. It now appears the runoff in November will likely be between 2 Democrats. Assemblyman Todd Gloria still has a solid lead of nearly 42%. Bree has 22.94%, while Sherman, a Republican, has 22.81%. A margin of about 444 votes currently separates Bree and Sherman while the counting continues. 3 other candidates are all measuring in single digits. Reporting for KNSJ, This is Miriam Raftery. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.